My dearly beloved, I would like to share with you this morning several reflections on the liturgy. And first, we begin with the epistle in which St. Paul mentions that Abraham had two sons, the one by a slave girl, the maid of his wife, Sarah, and the other, a child of promise, Isaac, the daughter of Sarah, Abraham's wife. And St. Paul uses the analogy of these two sons to explain the difference between the Old Testament and the New Testament. The son of the slave girl typifies the people of the Old Testament who were in a sort of slavery, not just the slavery in Egypt, but even after their deliverance from Egypt, they lived in subjection to the Mosaic law, which was very burdensome, very difficult, in fact, almost impossible to fulfill all of the requirements, all of the laws that God revealed to Moses. And that is because the Old Covenant was a time of preparation for the coming of the Messiah. But when our Lord came, he gave that new law of charity and instituted the New Testament. He did not wipe away, he did not reject the Ten Commandments, which are the natural law. But all of those requirements of the Mosaic law were no longer required. And rather, our Lord taught us to love God, his Heavenly Father, and to serve him from love. And so we can apply this, the two covenants and the idea also to our spiritual life, because there are two motives by which we serve God. We either serve him from fear of his just punishments, fear of hell, or we serve God because we love him. We know that God is so good and deserving of our love. We know that our divine Lord himself died for us on the cross and suffered so much in his passion. And so we love him and we serve him out of love. And that is the better motive of the two. Certainly, we never lose our fear. We know that fear of the Lord is one of the gifts of the Holy Ghost. Fear is a good thing. But try to serve God especially from love, because that is more meritorious. And getting back to St. Paul's example of the two sons of Abraham, he points out how the son of the slave girl, Ishmael, and his mother Hagar were driven out because Ishmael was what we would nowadays call a bully, picked upon his little brother Isaac. And so Sarah insisted that he be put out of the home. And so the people of the Old Testament, they were simply fulfilling the commandments, the laws that were given to them, which were a preparation for the New Testament. And when our Lord came, the Old Testament passed away. It had fulfilled its purpose. We can also apply this to our spiritual life. St. Louis Marie de Montfort points out in his book, True Devotion, how some people in their spiritual life are constricted with fear and with scruples and with many cares. And he says, those who consecrate themselves to our Blessed Mother and live that consecration find an interior liberty, an interior joy that conquers those various scruples and fears. And this theme of today, of rejoicing, from the first word of the introit, laetare, rejoice, reminds us that if we are living our faith, we should experience joy. We should not have a miserable, downcast, negative attitude about the practice of our religion. An attitude more or less, well, I guess I have to do these things if I want to get to heaven. There are some saints who said, even if there were no eternity with God, I would still mortify myself and live my faith because I experience so much joy interiorly. For those who love God and serve him as he deserves to be served, they begin to experience their heaven even in this life. And so ask yourself that question. Am I happy in the practice of my Catholic faith? On the other hand, if you're going through life trying to be a good Catholic but not being happy, then it's because you're not living your faith wholeheartedly. You're not giving yourself completely to the practice of the faith. Because if you were, it would bring a joy, an interior joy, that would give you that interior liberty that St. Louis Marie de Montfort speaks of, which the saints had, which all good Catholics experience, who serve God in the right way, to strive to serve God out of love more than out of fear. And again, one of the motivations for loving God is a reflection on the passion of our Lord. We think of what he did for us, and it was completely gratuitous. There was no obligation. God didn't owe us redemption, but he did it out of love for us. And so we say to ourselves, can I not love him in return? Passing on to the gospel of today, we are reminded of two things. God's providence in providing us with our material food, nourishment, and above all, our spiritual food, the Holy Eucharist and all the sacraments. Every year in the springtime is renewed this miracle of the earth bringing forth its fruits to sustain us in this life. And how provident Almighty God is in providing this boon, this food for mankind. Just as our Lord multiplied the loaves and the fishes for this great multitude, 5,000 men, not even counting the women and children, a large multitude that our Lord fed with this miracle. But Almighty God does the same thing continuously down through history, providing nourishment for us. So we should be grateful for, first of all, that physical sustenance, but above all, the spiritual. The very next day, after this multiplication of the loaves and the fishes, our Lord was on the other side of the lake at Capernaum. And people came to him and he said, you have come to me because you were filled with the bread, but labor not for the food which perishes, but rather for the spiritual. And he said, your fathers ate manna in the desert. Remember that? 40 years, that miraculous food. They ate the manna and they died. But the bread that I will give is my flesh for the life of the world. And our Lord said, I am the bread that has come down from heaven. What a wonderful gift, the spiritual nourishment of the body and blood of Christ. Could we ever adequately understand or appreciate this gift that our divine Lord gives to us? Let us at least make the effort to receive Holy Communion with devotion, with preparation, with a good thanksgiving afterwards, to show our gratitude to Almighty God for the gift of the Holy Eucharist and all the sacraments. I find it interesting that our Lord began with 7 articles, 5 loaves of bread and 2 fishes, reminding us of the 7 sacraments, the 5 sacraments of the living, the 2 sacraments of the dead, the 7 sacraments. But above all, this multiplication of the loaves reminds us of the Holy Eucharist. In fact, our Lord even went so far as to say, it's found in the same chapter, chapter 6 of St. John's Gospel, that unless you eat my flesh and drink my blood, you shall not have life in you. And some of his disciples left him and followed him no more. And they said, this is a hard saying, because they couldn't understand it. But the apostles remained faithful. They couldn't understand either, but they trusted in our Lord. And then 1 year later, at the Last Supper, then they understood what he meant when he said he would give us his flesh to eat and his blood to drink. May we always be grateful for this spiritual gift, this nourishment of our souls, without which we would die. We would spiritually die. Let us never take it for granted, but always prepare well and give adequate thanks afterwards for the wonderful gift of the body and blood of our Lord in Holy Communion. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, amen.